something for the weekend. How are you? It's Trina Mara, and I'm thrilled to have Albin Boyle back in studio. We have been following her story for years now, and maybe you do as well on Instagram, Ollie's Baby Wish. So what we want to do is we really want to update you. You probably know the story of Albin because she's been on a journey by herself, really, for the past few years in an attempt to have a baby. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, you followed me from the very beginning. I think you were my first ever interview I ever did.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? I mean, we're talking how many, it's a couple of years at least now.
Yeah, it's before COVID. So yeah. I think we all forgot how many years COVID was, but it was before COVID it all started. Okay. So I'm tired from it now.
Oh, really tired. So yeah. There's been lots of trials and tribulations over the last couple of years. And not to go into everything, but briefly tell us what's happened.
So I started off trying to foster in Ireland, tried it twice, didn't work, tried to adopt, didn't work. Wasn't your BMI can't be over 35, and unfortunately mine is over 35 and I'm also single, so it doesn't work in my favour. Then I was getting older and I decided, right, I have to try and do something about this. All I know is working with kids and being around kids as a clown doctor and a children's entertainer. I was like, that's all I want. And it was actually my niece. She was like, you're not getting any younger. Yeah. Unfortunately, we all have a time. And yeah, that's what's annoying for women. Like,
isn't it funny that so many women spend their 20s and their early 30s trying desperately not to get pregnant. And then when you want a baby, you run into trouble, or you might be single or whatever the situation might be at the time when you want your baby.
Yeah.
So that led you to look into IVF.
I tried IUI in Ireland first and it didn't work. I wasn't a big fan of it anyway at my age and my weight. I thought it wasn't going to be. So I wasn't really invested in it working.
So what's IUI?
So it's just basically, as I always said here from the very beginning, it's like going to Coppers and have one night stand.
Okay. So it's a sperm donor.
Sperm donor. Yeah. And that's it. There's no kind of big treatment or anything like triggers or stuff like that.
Okay.
Depending on whether you're doing natural cycle or non-natural cycle.
Because that's assuming that, you know, you can get pregnant and there's no fertility issues.
Yeah.
It's just that you didn't have a partner.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I suppose in Ireland, I think once you get to a certain age and, you know, if you don't have a partner, I would rather have known that I could have been tested for other things before I spent about 6,000 or 7,000 on IUI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people go, oh, IUI is less invasive and it's not expensive. But by the time you buy in your donor sperm from abroad, and then you have to freeze it, and then you have to have the treatment, and then you have the medication, it does add up.
Yeah.
And you've never had any tests to see if you're able, because you're single.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that didn't work.
That didn't work. Then I changed clinics, went to another one in Ireland, and they said, with my BMI and with my BMI and my AMH, which is my
egg count,
it was,
I feel like
0.5.
The expert in this because I follow you on Instagram. So I know all the terminology.
Yeah, so actually I've realised during IVF, everything's in lingo. It's really weird.
It really is, isn't
it? Like DD, double donor. It's just, and it's very confusing. But so I went there and they were like, okay, we think the only option for you is double donor. And that was the day I went home and broke down completely. I felt like a failure. I felt like I wasn't a woman. I felt, you know, I was single. I didn't have a partner. I didn't, you know, I'm very lucky with everything I did have, but you can't put it into perspective when you want a child.
I know.
And someone tells you, you can't.
Was it important to you for the child to be biologically yours? Because you say you looked into fostering and adoption as well. So having a child was probably more important to you, was it then?
It was, and I would never have done IVF, ever. I would never, ever bring a child into the world when there's children without a home. And because I wasn't able to do that, this was my only other option.
I get you. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, nothing worked in Ireland, and you said that you had quite a bad experience in Ireland as well.
It was really bad.
But then you found a clinic in Greece.
Through Instagram. Yeah.
Through Instagram. And people will say you're addicted to Instagram, but this is a good thing.
Listen,
because it led you to Greece.
You do what you do with Instagram. You know, everyone sees social media as a different platform. My mother hates it. She thinks, oh, it's awful, get off it. Without it, I would have been completely lost for the last 2.5 years. The support and the love I've gotten from people is phenomenal. And you learn from someone who's been through it. And I didn't know anything going into this. So I needed that support. And unless you've been there, and I'm really sorry to say this, any woman who's been through IVF, they don't want to hear, but my kids are like you can have, like, they're like your kids. No, they're not. They're not my kids. And no matter how much someone tries to help you, unless you've been in that road, you don't know how it feels.
Yeah. It must have been actually almost harder for you because you're on your own, and a lot of people might have partners that are supporting them along the way, but you're doing it all by yourself.
Do you know what? I'm going to be very honest. I think I was better off on my own, because when I went to Greece, if I get on the wrong bus or I do something wrong, I've no one to argue with. I just get over it and do the next thing. But you can see how hard it is for couples. It must be such a strain on relationships. Like, when does your marriage just become about IVF? Like, I didn't have anyone else to worry about.
I know, yeah.
And like, I've spoken to so many women who are so heartbroken that they feel like they've let down their husband.
You met Penny then at the clinic in Greece, and you always said if you had a baby or a baby girl, you were going to call her Penny.
Yeah.
She had such an impact on you.
Unbelievable. Like, she's not a doctor. She was my guidance counsellor in fertility. And
but she is a doctor, yeah?
No, she's not. She's not an actual doctor. Her husband was a doctor, and then he unfortunately passed away, and obviously the clinic was left to her. So she's the director of
the
clinic.
And she employs all
but
the...
But you know what? Yeah. I'm not the most intelligent person in the world, but you learn as you go and you learn as you see. And I feel that woman is so educated, but she's not on paper a doctor, but she is so informative about everything. The key is she's so caring. She loves everyone that comes into her clinic and treats them as their individual. And it's not just a business. Yes, it's money. Yes, it's a business. Like, I'm not naive to that. But there was something different in Greece compared to Ireland.
Okay. Now, talk us through the steps that you went through in Greece. Yeah. I mean, you spent quite a bit of time there, didn't you?
Yeah. So I've been there in total 5 times in the last year and a half. So first,
you should be fluent in Greek.
Oh, useless at it. Honest to God. Oh, my God. I tried. Absolutely horrendous. And you can't read anything over there either.
It's a funny writing, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's a funny writing. Someone said to me, a Greek guy over there said to me, you know, if you just learn the alphabet here, I said, I can't even like learn the alphabet. What's that going to do for me? But yeah, I met Penny in Serum, and from the minute I went in there, I just felt so much care and love and support. But the one thing that stuck out to me was I wasn't looked at for my weight. I was looked at, why are you not getting pregnant? And if you want to get pregnant, are you able? You're nearly 40. Let's test everything. So I had a hysteroscopy and I had loads of bloods done, turns out. Now, majority of women, which is crazy, a majority of women will have an infection in their uterus, you know, and you'll have to go on antibiotics. Everyone I know that's had a hysteroscopy, you can see, and then they give you a DVD of it, and she goes through it, and she showed me the inflammation and all of this, and, you know, treated that. And then she talked about my own eggs, and I said, I don't want to talk about my own eggs, because Ireland had made me so sad about myself.
You assumed you couldn't use them, yeah?
Yeah, I just assumed, and I had heard that they had a program of embryo adoption in Greece. So I was like,
I'm sorry, Alwyn, to interrupt, but did they tell you in Ireland that your egg count was too low, or what was the reason you couldn't?
My BMI and my AMH egg count was too low. And her exact words were, I'm not going to make you spend over €10,000 because you're not going to get pregnant.
So most women around your age would have a low enough AMH count, wouldn't they? But like, that doesn't necessarily tell you the quality. So you could have one egg that's great quality.
Yeah.
Or there could be another woman who has loads of eggs and the quality is too poor.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever is listening to this, women who've been on this road, they will know, and they will go, we know what AMH is, but everyone else doesn't. Because we NCT our car, we make sure we fix our house, but we never look into ourselves.
Yeah, and that's a test that you should probably do early.
It should be. It should be. Like, even for people who do not know if they want children, I'm saying it and I will be completely honest. If someone said to me in my 30s, go check it just in case, I would have laughed at you.
You would have been like, would you stop? I'm going out to Coppers.
I'm going out to Coppers. I'll meet someone. It's great.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're 40.
You don't. Yeah. It just goes by in a second, doesn't it?
It just goes by so quickly. It's awful.
Okay, so you were going to do double donor.
Yeah.
Take me from there.
What I was doing was embryo adoption. So basically embryos that have been left from other couples, they give them up for adoption.
Okay.
Rather than termination of their embryos, which I thought was the closest thing to adoption, and I thought it was amazing.
Okay.
So I was like, I'll do that. So then the couples pick your profile on whether they like you or not.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realise that. Yeah,
but because they'd have a sibling.
Getcha, 100% sibling. Yeah.
So they'd have to know who I am, but I wouldn't know who they are. But it's amazing.
And would they have been able to contact that sibling
when they're 18?
Oh, they would. Wow.
Because because everything's changed now again. Yeah. Back then they couldn't. So Greece was always anonymous, completely anonymous. But now the donors have a choice whether to be anonymous or not.
Okay. Yeah.
And that only came in 2 months ago.
Okay. So everything's changed.
Everything is changing. Embryo adoption is gone. They don't do that anymore. So now they do, like, I basically call it an egg surrogate. Mm-hmm. So they have someone doing a live cycle with you and then you use their eggs.
Okay. Now I'm going
to... That's the second thing I did.
Yeah. So, okay. So 5 trips to Greece.
Yeah.
The first one, what happened?
Hysteroscopy, found out I had killer cells, found out I had inflammation in the uterus. I had implantation cuts put into my uterus to help the embryo stick. I had a lot of bloods done, checked iron levels, and basically, as Penny said, got the baby room ready.
Okay. Trip number two.
Trip number two, I did the embryo adoption. Didn't work.
Didn't work. Okay.
Trip number three, did the live surrogate. Egg surrogate, where I had 20-year-old eggs and a lovely policeman. If anyone has been to Greece, the policemen are gorgeous. So I was thrilled. But that worked. And actually this week, last year, I lost the baby then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did get pregnant.
I did get pregnant on that. Yeah. So that would have been double donor, but it would have been a live double donor. Like, so fresh cycle.
I spoke to you the day that happened.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. That was devastating.
It was awful. It was possibly, I don't know, like it was a cloud of, I don't know, I can't even describe how it felt, because my 40th birthday was actually the next day.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I can't, why is this happening? And it was during COVID, so I was very much on my own. Like, I brought my best friend in. She had to take off her wedding ring and I had to pretend she was my partner just so I could have someone with me. Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad.
At the time, you were very much, right, I don't want to talk about this. I just need to just, I'm not talking about this. And it's hard, isn't it? It's really hard.
It's really hard. And you're in a room in a maternity hospital passing newborns, and I didn't want to know the sex or anything like that. But I had forced and fought and fought and fought. I don't think I've ever been so angry lying in a bed that I wanted genetic testing done on the embryo. I wouldn't have known about genetic testing only for Instagram.
What do they find?
So, and people go, why did I want it? Basically, when you do a live cycle, which I did the second time round, you're signing up to that person. So I would have had to take any other embryos that were made from that cycle. Legally, in Greece, I cannot change donors unless I have proof of something not working.
Okay.
So I was fighting to have the embryo tested. I didn't know whether it was me. Like, can I not hold the baby, or, you know, can my body not hold it? Like, and it turned out that there was a genetic default.
Okay.
And then people say, well, that's horrendous. Why did Greece let you do that?
Do they not do testing?
They do testing on, and the person who is a donor has to have had previous pregnancies. I was unfortunate.
All right.
But it meant I didn't have to go back to the same donors if I didn't want to. So I didn't.
Your trip number four. It's such a shame. You know, you got pregnant.
Yeah.
And you get so far along because you were quite a good bit along, weren't you?
I was about 10 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of feel like you're getting there.
Oh, listen, the day we went in, the day we went in, my best friend.
Yeah.
My fake wife. We thought it was going to be twins because they were like, the week before, the baby was, heartbeat was so strong and they saw something else and the baby was measuring, they thought that it was measuring bigger than it should have. So to me, it made no sense how it went from that to something completely different.
Yeah, sometimes it can be fluid or whatever that makes
it.
Yeah,
we thought it was going to be twins. Yeah, so the two of us were sitting there and they were like, sorry, there's no heartbeat. And and then I just lost. I just was like, right, okay, get it out of me. At least I got that option. I've heard that a lot of women don't get even the option of a DNC. They're sent home to do it by themselves. Like that's, to me, is horrendous. I could not do that. Now, I knew my best friend was like, do you want to think about it? And I was like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go home on my own and deal with this on my own. But anyway, I did the DNC, ended up getting an infection after the DNC. So Penny had asked me to come back over to see how everything was. So I had to have another hysteroscopy. So yeah, it was just, it's a price, like a hysteroscopy is €16.50. You know what I mean?
Whereas, not €16.50, €1,650. Yeah.
Per hysteroscopy. It's pricey, but it needed to be done. So there was another large infection and they had to clear it all out again. So
that was on your fifth trip to Greece?
No, that was on my fourth trip.
Okay.
Yeah, that was on my fourth trip.
Now, this summer, you went back.
Yeah. So because I got pregnant the last time after staying for a month and I did all my testing over there, scans constantly, it was all done in the right time frame. I thought, right, this is my last time. Like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot give up my life to this anymore. It's heartbreaking, but I have to realize, and I think that's the hardest thing I've learned from this. Like, so many women find it hard to stop. Yeah. And I knew I had to stop. Like, I'm mentally, physically, financially drained. Like, my body came back like swollen. Like, I'm not the skinniest in the world anyway, covered in bruises. You know what I mean? I just went, no, enough is enough. Like, it's not the outcome I wanted. But I went back over, and when I arrived over, I was due to stay. So I wanted to stay for 3 months. People go, why did you do that? Like, why?
Yeah, there were some kind of nasty people saying, oh, look at her over there on her holidays.
On her holidays.
For the whole summer.
You, it was not a holiday.
Yeah.
If anyone knows me, a holiday for me is dancing, having a few drinks and partying and you know, that sleeping all day by the pool. I didn't do that. I couldn't even swim most of the time. Because you can't when you're on treatment.
Because infection and things like that. Yeah.
I spent most of the time just in the apartment because the first month I arrived, I had hoped to get pregnant. And the main reason I went, I wanted to be away from here because there's too many questions and too much pressure. I didn't have to answer to anyone over there. I just did what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they found a cyst on my first trip.
And you're like, here we go again. This is putting the time back again.
Oh my God. So my first cycle then was cancelled. So they did a mock cycle and people are like, what's a mock cycle? So a mock cycle is when they bring on your period so that they can clear out the cyst so that they can go on the next cycle. And Penny said, you have to promise me one thing. You'll let me see if we can use your own eggs because you've never let us try. And I was like, Penny, it's just not going to work. Like, it's, the whole reason I'm here for 3 months is I want to get pregnant and be past 10 weeks going home. I wanted to be past the time of where I'd lost the baby the last time. And Penny was like, well, you know what? I'm going to do you a deal. If it doesn't work, I'll cover it because I believe in you and I believe in your eggs and you need to believe in yourself. And she's like, there's nothing saying you cannot produce eggs. You don't need 100 eggs. You need one to get pregnant. That's the way she looked at it. But she also knew I was so heartbroken and felt I wasn't a real woman. And then I'd lost the child. So we went on. I started the cycle. The cyst was gone. And she was like, you're producing these amazing. Like, someone also gave out to me because I said, Penny said I have 2 eggs because I was talking about follicles. But like follicles and eggs, like they were like, Penny shouldn't have told her that she's got 2 eggs. They're just follicles. There could be nothing in there. But she was staying positive and I was staying positive. And sometimes you just need that. And actually, she was dead right. There was 2 grade A eggs in those 2 follicles. So she was dead right when she said it. So they obviously did the egg retrieval and put it with a donor. And we were convinced at all the symptoms. And that is the killer with medication on IVF.
It makes you think, it makes you feel like you're pregnant.
You have every single pregnancy symptom. you have this sickness, the tiredness.
And it's because the hormones are going crazy.
The hormones are going crazy from the medication. But I was doing a natural cycle where I wasn't like injecting every day. I'd only do a trigger shot and then I would take something for my killer cells, like and then my vitamins and stuff like that. So Penny was like, your eggs are great quality and you've just done a natural cycle. So it broke my heart then, and I started being sad, being like, my eggs would have been a year younger if I believed her the first time. But I couldn't keep thinking the negative, so I went along. Unfortunately,
hindsight's a great thing, isn't it?
Hindsight's a great thing, but unfortunately the eggs didn't work. They came out and two beautiful embryos were made, and I cannot describe that feeling when I have it on my Instagram of the video of them actually putting them in, and it looked like a firework going into my uterus. I was so excited. I genuinely believed that was it, and these are my own eggs.
And then from following you on Instagram, I thought then when that didn't work you'd be straight home.
Yeah.
But you stayed on.
Yeah.
So tell us why. You had a little secret.
I had a little secret. So they close for the month of August, and they were closing on the 29th. And I literally was like, I didn't think I had any time to go again or whatever. And she said, we're going to do this. We're going to do a double donor. And I was like, what? And she was like, we're just going to do this. And we're going to help you as a team. We're all going to help you. And they did. And I was their last patient before their summer holidays. And unfortunately, it didn't work, but.
Oh, didn't work.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, is that the end of the journey now, Alwyn?
Yeah. I even changed my Instagram name to Ollie's What's Next. I think now I need to concentrate on me, and I'm going to get, I hate the fact that, you know, adoption is down to my BMI, and I want to do it in a healthy way, but it's time to take care of my own body and mind, and I'll probably look at adoption again in maybe a year.
During the course of this whole journey, and I mean, it's been fascinating kind of watching. You're great on Instagram because you love
to. I'm useless.
Oh, no, you're great. I hate it. But there's been some awful people, hasn't there, criticising what you're doing?
But
why are you being so public about it? You were criticised for the GoFundMe, which your friend set up for you as well.
Genuinely thought people thought that the GoFundMe money was going to last forever. I had to close it down and everything, and
you shouldn't have done that, because there was people who wanted to give.
I know, but
to help you.
I never wanted it originally. And then it was set up as a 40th present from friends. I had a massive 40th planned and that was gone. And my friends didn't know what to get me, what to give me. So they wanted to just support me. And then other people on Instagram wanted to support me. And that's how it grew. It was very
natural. But it wasn't a huge amount of money was raised when you think of the expense that you've had over the last.
Yeah, I think it was 5,500 in total.
And you spent probably 20?
And more.
Really?
Taking flights and accommodation and stuff, yeah.
God, I never even thought of that, yeah. Yeah.
But it was gas, because the thing about Instagram is I'm very honest, and I always say to someone, just message me. If there's something I'm saying wrong, I'll fix it. Because I don't want to give the wrong information, but I'm by no means a doctor.
Yeah, and you always say that. I'm not claiming to be a
doctor.
I'm not
claiming to be.
I'm just telling you what happened when I was in there, and if
I
get it wrong.
Like with the follicle thing, it went crazy.
Yeah.
But the thing that really annoyed me about it was I never, in my 2.5 years on Instagram telling this story, I never got horrible messages personally to me. Oh, I did once by a secret account last year.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden then I hear about this site where they're absolutely slating me.
So this is a site called Tattlelife.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible place because they slag off everybody and anybody who's in any way in the public eye, like the Instagrammers and whatever, or people on telly or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if they slag radio people. I hope they don't.
Don't Google your name.
I haven't looked. But a whole thread was started.
Well, no, I became part of their thread.
The IVF thread.
Yeah. It was like Insta-huns. And I was like, what? But the stuff they were saying was like so not true. It was like, you cannot dip in and out of someone's Instagram and think you know them enough to make a comment. So I took them on And my message was deleted.
It's like as if, and I went, when you spoke about it on Instagram, I went on to have a look, what are these women saying? Yeah. And a lot of these women are supposedly on the IVF journey themselves, yeah, which is ironic, yeah, that they wouldn't support somebody else who's doing, yeah, it. And they're pulling you up on every little mistake, and they're, yeah, oh, look at her off getting her nails done, or, oh, look, she had dinner today. What about budgeting, yeah, her? Like, what?
Getting my nails done was probably the one thing I did that made it somewhat of a holiday, because, yeah, I couldn't do anything else.
Oh, well, Alwyn, you were dipping out of somebody else. You were robbing from someone else to get your nails.
Yeah.
Like,
stuff like saying, oh, I remember my housemate, Damo, they have wrote on it, I don't know why they don't just set a GoFundMe up for Damo so he can get away from living with her, because she's obviously like got a house full of hippies. I'm like, what? Where did that even come from? Like, the stuff was bizarre. It was really,
really toxic.
But, you know, yeah, I was bullied extremely badly when I was in school, like really, really badly. But the bullies did it to my face.
But the keyboard warriors are way worse, because, like,
well,
you'd
because
never,
they don't
ever,
have the guts to,
yeah,
say it.
You'd never ever say that to somebody if they were standing next to you,
yeah,
in a million years.
Why are you following my story?
Or you'd probably never say it if you're in the company of people, because you'd know people would look at you and go, oh, that's an awful thing, yeah, to say.
But I'm convinced hiding, I've met one of them. I've met one of them. And the one I've met has sent private messages since I've met her saying, just don't mind that page anymore.
Two-faced. You
know, it's amazing when, and I heard, said to somebody else that knows me, she turned around and she was like, God, until you meet Alwyn, you don't realise she's actually a lovely person. And I, yeah, was like, yeah, it's only Instagram. I'm not being paid. You're not paying me.
I know. It'd be one thing, right, if you had a deal going and you were getting all this,
yeah,
for free, and it was an ad.
Yeah.
Like a 2-year ad.
Yeah.
You're just documenting.
And they're like, oh,
your
she's
journey,
not paying for it and serum. I was like, I paid you for are, everything. I paid my rent. And then I remember people being like, what the hell? She wants someone to sleep on her couch and charge them money. I'm renting a 2-bed apartment.
A full unit. And somebody else would benefit from paying half.
And I
as well,
had 12 women stay with me over the summer. 2 of the women had partners who couldn't afford to come over because the flights were 490.
And come here, did you have a gun against their head there, making them,
nope,
stay with you?
And 3 of them came back twice.
Right. Well, you're an awful person doing
this. I'm an awful person. And the rent, what was funny was the rent in the area where I was staying, in the hotel across the road, was 185 a night.
I mean, who could do it?
You can't when you're doing IVF. So we went for dinner and we chatted. We all were in the same journey. We weren't drinking. So it was very easy for all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you can't explain anything to people who are nasty. They just have their own issue. But my thing was, if you have a problem with me, you need to say it to my face. You know, and
I just couldn't get over that it was women. It wasn't just general women. It was women who were going through it
IVF
themselves. You'd think they'd have a little bit more understanding,
yeah,
and be a bit more kind.
Yeah, and I do think, if,
especially as you'd lost a baby as well.
Yeah, and I do think it was mad. If you go, I haven't been on in a while, like, but my friend messaged me and said, it's gas. Since it didn't work for you and you kept the secret.
Oh, they were all jumping on. Oh, I'm feeling, my heart is breaking.
My heart is breaking,
yeah,
for her. Oh,
I really hoped it would work with her. Yeah. Yeah.
Shut up. Like, really. And even, I couldn't explain because I was doing the second round. So I fell over in Greece and people were like, oh my God, that girl falls all the time. Like, what is her problem? And they were so nasty about it. But the reality was, I was on treatment, taking medication. It was 40 degrees heat. I had an iron transfusion booked in for the 11th of August. So my iron levels were extremely low. And because I was doing treatment, my balance goes off.
And you'd broken your leg, hadn't you?
I'd broken my leg
as well at,
yeah,
one point.
Yeah.
So your bones probably aren't as strong as they would normally,
yeah,
be. Like.
And yeah, I fell. And I do. I fall a lot, especially when I'm due an iron transfusion.
But come here, I'm as clumsy as well. I keep getting slagged. I fall over my own feet.
Yeah.
I'm just that kind of a person.
I know. Look,
when I was at home, working from home during lockdown, and a guest only mentioned it to me there the other week, I forgot even. I was getting up off my couch and I swung my leg around and I walked it off the coffee table and I fractured my foot.
Oh, stop.
I mean, that was working from home. So I can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I literally, but like little things like that, I was like, you know, you don't know someone, so just be very careful with your words. Like,
tell me what's going on then with the bruising, because on Instagram you documented like your bruising was really, really, really,
really
bad.
Horrendous. Yeah. But in places where I wasn't injecting. So Penny sent me to a specialist over, which was amazing, because imagine trying to get a specialist here and how much would a specialist cost you in Ireland. So I went to see a haematologist over in Greece and he brought me in straight away and he did up a list of stuff that I had to get tested, because obviously I wouldn't have had enough time, and just advised me that if I was pregnant, that I wasn't to have the iron transfusion on the 11th. And I was like, grand. So I have to be honest, like, I, even though I tested so much and it was negative and negative, I don't know why, but this time I convinced myself.
You were hoping that it would still be,
So positive, I went for the blood test so that I, whether or not I could have the iron transfusion, and that came back negative. And I was like, are you sure? Should we do another one?
Yeah.
And I was never like that before.
Maybe because it was your last shot.
It was my last shot.
Can I say, you actually seem really upbeat and really happy now. You've made the decision now. Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you feel almost a sense of relief that you've made that decision? Or do you think you would like to keep going if the money was there, if you won the lotto tomorrow?
No, I don't think I don't think I could put myself through it again. And how ironic, I was out last night and I could not believe this. Like, you wouldn't believe it. Got chatting to this guy from the States. And guess what he is?
What?
A fertility doctor. And he was like, I can get you pregnant. No, like, honestly, I'll help you. I was like, no, no. And I had to literally tell myself no. And messaged me again this morning on Instagram being like, honestly, if you want, you know, you can come over to the States and I can help you
out. But more money again, isn't it?
I'm like,
how could you do it?
I mean, never financially. Met any doctor for fertility in a pub in Ireland who's like, I can help you get pregnant. I wasn't going to pay for it on this time.
But come here to me, what are you doing then now? Because, you know, we spoke about how the business was gone and obviously you've been away for the summer as well.
Yeah.
How are you doing financially? How are you actually getting by?
Well, barely now. And I don't want to be like, oh, poor me. Like, it's, look, I'm happy where I am. I have a very supportive family and a very good friends. And I'm not flush with cash, but I'm okay. Do you know that kind of way? I retrained as an SNA during COVID. So I applied for like 36 jobs when I was away, did a few interviews when I was away online. And I'm musical director, producer in Terranure College. So I'm back there. Back in Clown Doctors on Tuesday after 2.5 years. Like, we used to do it online.
What happens during a clown doctor? Because I've heard you talk about this, but what is a clown doctor?
So my name is Dr. D. Licious, and we go into like all of the wards or A&E and we just visit kids to take them. There's two clown doctors who go in, so we do jokes or comedy or magic, or we tell stories. You just kind of read the room and see how people are, and we just visit them room.
Because there's another side to Alwyn. Like, it's not all about, you know, serious you know, fertility, all that. Alwyn is mad. Like, we were in college together.
I know.
And when you arrive, you'd arrive in into the canteen and the whole, like, you'd hear you before you'd see you. And that is you, isn't it?
Yeah, I was yesterday was my first day out after, like, I'd say probably a good year where I actually went out. And my best friend sent me a message today and she was like, I've never witnessed to see and notice how your smile and how happy you were just dancing. And I just felt free again, you know.
Yeah.
And I did. And that doesn't mean I don't want a child. Obviously, it would have been an amazing end to a really difficult story. But I've learned a lot. I found myself and I know I'm a strong person. So
OK, well, listen, thank you so much for coming in and telling us the ending, I guess, of the story. I'm so sorry it wasn't the ending that you wanted.
You never know what I'll do next. That's why I called it Ollie's What's Next now.
Yeah, you could meet a fella tomorrow and just somehow a miracle
could happen.
You said
that the last time I was here.
I know. You just never know. Look, thanks so much for coming in.
OK.
We'll talk to you again. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.